evening, everybody. Welcome to the Hologram Radio Show.
Hello, everyone. That was funny.
That was funny. They missed it.
You missed what I was just saying because, I'm Ash Red. That's Cheryl Catherine Smith. And, and I was just talking about how I never liked apples because I have abandonment issues.
She said that right before we came on, and I just was a little flummoxed. What kind of abandonment issues do you relate to apples?
In kindergarten, I was eating an apple, and they told me I couldn't, my mom came to volunteer, and they told me that she couldn't stay with me the whole time, and she had to go on coffee break, and I freaked out, and I was eating an apple, so I never liked apples, but I just had one.
So you freaked out while eating an apple, therefore, yeah. Psychologically, you connected your mother having to leave you in kindergarten with the ingestion of an apple.
Also, in grade one, my mom couldn't pick me up from school one day, and I had to go home with another family, and I was eating an apple, and it was at snack time, and we were singing The Little Drummer Boy, and I still hate that song.
Oh, my God. Okay, so we now know why you didn't like apples before, and you don't like Little Drummer Boy, yeah. Having to do, once again, with the sense of separation from your maternal figure.
Yes.
This is a really good psychological, you know, perhaps a future psychological show we could talk about your yeah. psyche.
It was a tough one. I just didn't like other people when I was that young. I didn't want to go home with them. I didn't want to have sleepovers. I didn't even want to hang out with people at recess. I had just a couple friends that I liked. Anyone else? It's not that I was a loner. Everyone wanted to hang out with me. I just didn't like them.
Didn't like them and didn't like apples.
Nope.
Well, here we are. Today is June the 2nd. We are live, coming to you live on this beautiful sunny evening here in White Rock, British Columbia, Canada. And our show topic tonight is what would happen if all religions were to disappear. Now, I used to teach modeling and personal development classes many years ago, one of my many vocations. And one of the things in the etiquette class we used to teach is what not to talk about. And this was one of the things that you're not supposed to talk about in terms of good etiquette. That would be not talking about religion because, you know, people get offended by religions and when you talk about it. But here we are. I'm not paying attention to the things that I even used to teach. And I'm saying, to hell with that. We're talking about religion. And what would happen if all religions were to disappear? In the blurb for the show, this is what we wrote. What would it mean if we were to experience a world where religion in every one of its forms were to disintegrate and thus disappear altogether? What do we think would happen if we were then left alone with our own psyches and our own deeds, with no religious law to depend upon to either control us or govern any of our behaviors? Do we feel that we are, in fact, spiritually developed enough as well as responsible enough to not only survive but to also thrive in such a situation? Can we indeed trust ourselves? And this is what I really want to focus on. I think it's important to preface all of this by saying that it's not about being dishonoring. Because, you know, Joseph Campbell has written a lot about mythology and myth. And he's said some really beautiful, wonderful things about mythology and how myth has served us as a society and a multiples of society. I wanted to say, of course, it's not about disrespect or dishonoring. It's about change. And change is inevitable in all things. And I think that's what most of us fight, is we have this idea of the way our lives should be or who we are. And when we're confronted with something that's different, whether it's a philosophy or a person, a personality, I think our first instinct is to fight, because change is, for most of us, I'm not going to say all of us, but for most of us, it's quite scary, and we get a little bit scared of change. And we think that in change, there might be perhaps our downfall, or there might be something that takes us down a path that we don't want to go. Take it away, Ash.
Well, you know, it's so, we've touched upon like religion and, you know, things like that, higher power. Even a higher power to me is different than what, like, a religion. Because, I mean, a higher power can even be yourself. It can just be something that you not so much look up to, but something that you can even just draw a bit of strength from. So that even could be music. It could be anything. So I think having a higher power, even like in programs like AA or something, or NA, they teach about a higher power. And
any 12-step program. Yeah. Yeah.
And, well, I think it's difficult to touch upon the subject of religion to many people. I've even had friends tell me they don't want to listen to our radio show because...
That's right.
Because it's controversial, or it just makes them feel uncomfortable.
Well, they're not open-minded. So yeah. When they hear us say that religions actually don't serve, and they're very much involved yeah. in their religion, they find it offensive.
Well, exactly. And I remember even I was in grade 8. No, I was in grade 9. And
or ninth grade, if you're American.
Yeah, ninth grade. And I remember that I signed up for that Columbia. What was it called? Was it called Columbia House? Remember that?
Oh, yeah, the record.
Where you got 9 yeah. free CDs, and you had to pay, yeah. just buy 2 or something. Well, I loved the crap out of that thing. And I would just buy so many things. And I'd also, because, like, I went to a Christian school, but my parents were always really open and very secular. So it was totally okay, but I got away with ordering things on there that I couldn't just say, hey, Mom, can I please have, you know, $12 to get a CD? And
get a Marilyn Manson CD?
We're getting there. So anyway, my parents were so awesome. We'd go to A&B Sound a lot, and, you know, sometimes they'd give me, like, you know, you can buy one CD or something. They were always really cool about that.
Because your dad's a musician. Yeah. You always loved music.
Yeah, so I get to go usually, you know, once a month or something. We'd go, and I'd get to pick out an album or two. And I remember the A&B Sound, and I'd just go there, and it was so awesome. Like, I remember, don't get me started on the 90s, but that was the best music time ever. But anyway.
Ash was born in 84. Yeah. So you know, kind of get an idea as to what time she's yeah. buying her music.
Yeah. So anyway, I signed up for this thing, and I remember this one time, I said, okay, I'm just going to order my CDs. And Mom said, okay, well, I'll put the thing in the mail for you, whatever the ones you want. So I remember I ordered Nine Inch Nails, I ordered Marilyn Manson, I don't remember what else I ordered.
Did you ever order Alice in Chains? Do you remember?
I was just thinking about that, but no, I didn't.
Nirvana?
I ordered Nirvana before.
Yeah?
I think so. I think it was the MTV Unplugged one.
Any Ministry?
No. But anyway, what was cool is that I ordered them, whatever, and then my mom took a look at them, like, just because I had them out or something, and she's like, this is horrible. And I was 13 or 12, and she took my Nine Inch Nails CD away, and she said, don't worry, you'll get it back in a couple years. So that was even cool because it was really like they were even on the fringe of the anti-religious, or not even anti-religious, but just question your religion, or, you know, just very secular stuff. And so anyway, I eventually got that back because I found it.
First of all, okay, before you go on, I know you have a story here, but
yeah, it's a great one.
Why did she take it away? What was her premise? What did she tell you as a 12-year-old?
Oh, the lyrics were, okay, like, it was not even about religion. It was bad for, like, I mean, I was 12, and it was, like, a lot of swear words and sex stuff. Like, it wasn't appropriate for any 12-year-old to have.
Okay, so it wasn't because of anything other than she was concerned about you being exposed to...
Yeah, it was totally fine, right?
Stuff that was above your head, all right.
Right, and then, so when I was in grade 9, I had this friend, and she let me, because I wasn't allowed, like, my mom didn't like Marilyn Manson, and around 1997, he was really, really controversial, and that was in his Antichrist Superstar days. So... The girl, my mom, I was going to go get the CD or something. My mom said, I don't want you to do that. You have to be a little bit older to understand this stuff and where you can question it. And, you know, if you want that, you can take it or leave it. But it can kind of manipulate you. But, like, regardless of the point, and I believe it could have a little bit, too, when you're really open. But not necessarily bad or good. But I think she just wanted me to be able to speak for myself and think for myself a little bit better.
Before Who's she? Your
my
friend?
Mom, my mom.
Okay.
So anyway, I had this CD and I was listening to it myself and whatever, and I didn't really get it. So I want to say that my mom, on that point of even maybe a religious standpoint, was right. I didn't get it. Like, I borrowed the CD from a friend and I didn't get it. I was like, okay, this is just kind of a bit too loud and a bit too out there for me. And then fast forward, say, I don't know, 10 years... Me and my mom were going to the Marilyn Manson concert together. And it goes to, for me, the whole religion, how I'm going to tie this into it, is that it's so good to when you can finally think for yourself. And my lesson growing up was, with the whole religion thing, is that I had a really good foundation going to a Christian school. I'm really glad I went to a Christian school. And because of that, I think I was able to think for myself more. And, like, if I was to shed, like, a certain belief system or a certain religion, you know, at a young age, I think it probably, I maybe would have been a little bit reckless with myself, and that's just speaking for myself. But, you know, having religion disappear, like our radio show topic and stuff, it's a lot different when I was old enough to think about it. And my whole experience with it was that I really explored a lot, and I felt a lot of different things. And even the Christian school I went to was very secular. Like, sure, we had to go to chapel or whatever and things like that. But for me, it was having the thing. This is my whole thing, okay? Having the choice of religion, to me, is so much more empowering than being born into something and forced into something. Because even my parents, they were always so open for whatever I wanted to do, for whatever, if I wanted to go to church or if I didn't want to go to church. That was really cool. Even the school I went to, them saying, you know, you don't have to believe in our religion, but you just respect it. Like, show up at the chapel if you're going to be enrolled in the school. It doesn't mean you have to believe it. It doesn't mean you have to, we didn't even have to wear uniforms. So basically, what I'm saying about my take on if all religions were to disappear, I think that it's a great thing to have love as your basis of your religion, make love your religion. But also, the freedom to me, I think if people were given the freedom to choose their religions rather than kind of being guilted into what they should be doing or should not be doing, that's a huge, huge difference. And I think that more people would react rather than in fear, in intellect.
Well, thank you.
That was an awesome story.
That was an awesome story. It's, you know, just a roundabout about
parenting. I am so good. I am, no, it's about me actually being on my own journey to realizing that I wasn't forced into anything, and that's why I can better choose love as my religion. Kiss a tree.
Kiss a tree. I come from similar background. I didn't go to a Christian school, but I did become a born-again Christian at the age of 16 and was very, very, very involved with the Pentecostal church. And got involved in ministry. I was a singer in some Christian rock bands. And I was very, 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 very devoted to Jesus. And that's really what took me to the Christian church. Because the Jesus that I believed in was the Jesus that spoke about love. And who was angered when people were lied to, and when people weren't loved, and when animals weren't loved. And this is the Jesus that I understood. I know that many Christians have a different kind of Jesus, and they take it to the point of saying that Jesus is the only way you can actually get into this place called heaven after you die. And I no longer believe in any of that, but I have never stopped believing in the message of Jesus. And many New Age people are talking about Christ consciousness and sort of taking it away from one particular man to becoming a consciousness of love. And I really am quite a proponent of religions being quite dangerous and quite dark. And I have actually even publicly stated that Jesus himself would not be participating in this religion called Christianity. I think Jesus would be quite angry that people have taken him and basically used him as the ultimate scapegoat. Now, many Christians out there probably don't agree with me. I've had many talks to other Christians about this, and I've had even people tell me that there's no way I could have ever been a true born-again Christian because I speak this way now, and I say, I was. And if you were back then with me, you would have seen that. And in fact, I mean, I was even on the front page of the newspaper with my hand raised high as a worshiper. Wow. in Broadway Pentecostal Tabernacle. They had done an article, Vancouver Sun newspaper did an article on faiths and what was happening in Vancouver. And I was on the front page. It was a large picture, too. So, I mean, I was very, very, very involved. And my, it was all, it's always about intention. So I'm kind of coming in a roundabout way, just telling you a little bit about my story and why, today I don't believe that religions serve any of us, because I see religion is more of a separator as opposed to a uniter. I was looking up religion on this wonderful thing called the World Wide Web, www, the internet, and there are over 4,200 religions currently in the world, active religions. They've divided them into world religion. They also have indigenous religions, and they have new religions. There's been faiths that have popped up recently to include, I believe, the New Age movement, which is also seen as a religion. Religions aren't just a face of light. They're also face of people perceive face of darkness, like Satanism. Or some people even see Wiccan as a dark religion, when in fact it is not. It is all about nature and light and love and giving as opposed to taking. But I feel very strongly that whenever I've had a, you know, it's interesting, because when I was doing my ministry back in the day, and I was very, very convicted Christian and wanted to save the world and tell people the message. And I remember going to the home of a Mooney. And if you remember Reverend Sun Young Moon, who recently passed away, he had devotees. And we sort of saw, as the youth group Christian crusaders that we were, we saw these Moonies as a threat to Christianity in some way. And I'll never forget, we were invited to the home of one of the leaders, and we were very open-minded because we wanted to save them. Mm-hmm. And he sat down with me, and he said, guess what book that we come from? And I said, I don't know what book you come from, because all I knew was the Bible, and I didn't figure that they would come from the Bible. And he pulls out the Bible, and he said, our religion is based in the Bible. And I remember I think I was 16 or 17 years old then, I remember thinking, wow, this is pretty heavy. How come your religion, which is so twisted in my mind, comes from the same book that my non-twisted religion comes from? And he started reading passages, and he started explaining to me what certain passages meant to him in their religion. And I saw right then and there, it was the beginning kind of my unraveling, in the sense of unraveling in a really great way, because unraveling my closed-mindedness, unraveling my preconceived ideas, unraveling what I believed to be as truth, and I didn't want to step away from it, because no person was going to take me away from it. And one of the things in religion and in the book, the Bible, you know, the way it's taught to most religious churches of today, I'll just talk about Christianity for now, is that we're told that we have to beware of the devil, and we have to beware of the demons. And they talk about how demons can just enter you without even your permission. And it's all about, it's quite scary. And a lot of scare tactics. And so
that's all it was. Like, even, like, not to derail you, but even in the 80s and early 90s, every single talk show was all about
demon possession. Yeah, we'll remember The Exorcist and all that. And I know, and I even have had talks with people who are quite religious, who have witnessed demons and demon possession, and there's books on it, priests that have actually, you know, on and on and on. But I'm of the mindset that there are no such thing as demons. But I didn't just come to this mindset. This has taken me a lot of deprogramming, because I do believe that I was programmed. And I do believe that most religion and people that have been, you're talking, Ash, about not being told what to believe. You weren't born into a particular religion and told this is the only religion and this is the only way of the world. And if you don't follow this path, you're doomed to, you know, hell and destruction, mm-hmm. and death. And I was raised, actually my mother took us to church, and we went to summer church camps and things, but they were all united and whatnot. And
yeah, mine was Orthodox.
Yeah, very kind of united, kind of Christian light. That's what I sort of see. It's Christian light. Yeah. I don't think Orthodox is Christian light. I think it's Christian heavy.
Yeah.
But anyway, unfortunately, I can't think too well. I've got a really bad cold, and when you interrupted, you did kind of derail me, but that's okay. I believe in the perfection of this. I just wanted to sort of in a roundabout way say, I've had the experience and I've come full circle and it hasn't been easy. And I'm still actually, there's one particular person who's quite a Christian. He's a friend of mine. I've known him for many, many years. I've worked with him and he's still trying to save me and I'm still trying to save him.
That's what you were talking about.
Yeah. But the thing is that this is okay. Truth. He's yeah. trying to save me and I am trying to save him. And the way that I'm trying to save him is to mm-hmm. say to him, you have not necessarily been told the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And if that in fact is so, what does it mean? Do you lose everything? Do you become a puddle of nothing because of your belief system? If your belief system is smashed, if you were to wake up tomorrow and you realize that everything you believed in is completely not true, how would that define you? What would that mean for you? A lot of people have that experience when they, for example, have a mate that's unfaithful.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're in a marriage and they believe that this marriage is solid and they believe that that person is committed to them, that person loves them, would die for them, you know, is loyal to them. And then one day they find out that their partner either is having an emotional affair or a spiritual affair or a sexual affair, and their whole world crumbles because what they believe to be true is not in fact true.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, things can change so quickly, but like, with that, I have to say that, you know, it's having a religion, is having a religion different than having a faith? Because somehow I believe, even though I don't have a particular religion, I believe that a faith, the faith in something, can save many people. Sometimes there's people who are just going nowhere, and they're somehow adapted into a faith, and it changes their life around. What happens with those kind of people?
But we need to be constantly in flux and be able to be adaptable because change is inevitable for all of us. I mean, some of us marry once and stay with that person for our entire lives and have children and grandchildren, and that's wonderful and beautiful. And some of us don't, and that's also wonderful and beautiful. Who are we to say that this is, I mean, my intention when I first got married was, of course, that my marriage would last a lifetime. Well, it didn't. Mm-hmm. So do I, you know, go, okay, I was wrong mm-hmm. in believing that that would be my reality, or was I right that it could be my reality, or what do I have to do? This is my point, because I'm trying to equate life situations that most people can relate to religion, to taking yeah. it into their belief system, their philosophy, because life happens to us. We lose jobs. We lose children even. Our children can die. We lose relationships. We lose friendships.
But that's what I was saying.
Like, we have to move because something
happens.
No, I happens.
Get it. I get that. But what I'm saying is, say all of that happens to one person. Somehow, something happens. And they're completely down and out. And is it religion that's bad? Or is it, what is it? Is it the constitution of religion? Because in one point, like, I don't agree with having religion for myself. You know, I can't tell anyone else what to do, but if many things can save, music can save, you know, anything can save, but what happens if someone does grasp onto a religion and it does save them, even if it's not true?
No, you know, we're on different paths here.
No, I'm right on yours, but what I'm saying is...
No, I know what you're saying, but I didn't finish what I was getting at. It's not what you're saying. I know what you're saying.
Okay.
What I was getting at is that one thing I noticed with religion, this is what, maybe I'm not being clear enough. One thing I noticed with religion, and I've been there because I understand this because I've lived it,
mm-hmm.
is that you're told this is what you should believe forever
mm-hmm.
because that will take you into your forever. But it's not true.
No, I know.
But it's so hard to get out of that mindset of it not being true.
No, I understand that.
Now, you're talking about something completely separate. Yes, faith can get us to a place, and that serves. That's something...
No, I'm just on the radio show topic. Like, if what would happen if all the religions were to disappear?
But that I'm on the same topic.
I know.
But I'm talking about it disappearing in terms of stopping the way we believe.
Well, that's where I'm at, too. But I'm saying if somebody is saved by a faith, and all of a sudden it's taken away, do they plummet? What happens? I'm right on your path, so I'm just asking your input on that.
Well, I was just going,
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, that's all I was just asking
I'm kinda
you.
I don't know what it is that you're asking me, because I was just trying to make a point. My point is this. No matter what, I've had people in my life have huge tragedies and things, like big things happen to them, and their whole world feels like it's crumbled. Because what they've known to be true and what they believed to be true and what they thought would always be there was suddenly taken away from them. The thing about religion, you're talking about earlier about being born into one versus being able to choose one.
Yeah.
Being able to choose one ideally is the better way to go.
Yeah.
Right? Being born into one, if you get to a point of choosing it for yourself, is a different thing altogether too.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're actually born into a situation and you don't question anything, that's when I think we're in dangerous territory, any of us, because once we stop questioning what's truth for us, then we've lost adventure, we've lost experience, because we are then having, the thing that I went through is that basically I was told the way it was, I believed it, I was told to have blind faith, I had it, and I've even had somebody accuse me of being angry at the church, and the same gentleman says to me, how come Cheryl, I'm sorry for how the church hurt you, you know, but don't let that keep you away from it. No, buddy, you got it all wrong. The church didn't hurt me. I feel for the people in the church. I feel for the people in religion, because I know most people, our hearts, it's about purity. It's about wanting to have truth. It's about wanting to be connected to God. And most of us will do anything to be connected to God, because we love God. We love Creator. We love the infinite source. We want to be connected to it. So we're told that these are the rules and this is what you've got to do to be connected to it. And in blind faith, we listen. But what if we don't need all those rules? What if we're told, you know what? There is no religion. They're all gone. What are you going to do? Who are you going to be? What are your choices? And that's what I'm talking about, waking up in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And everything as you believed it to be is not as it is. Who are we in that instance? If we were to take our religion and say, I am no longer that religion. This is why I used a husband and wife scenario before.
Yeah.
You take the fact that that person is no longer your spouse. That's a whole change in a life.
Of course it is. Of course it is. I mean, for me, if religion was gone, it wouldn't make much of a deal to me, because I place my most important thing in my life is being good to people, being patient, being kind, being honest, and, you know, loving the people around you, even if they're pissing you off. And, you know, that's just a good quality. That doesn't mean it has to be a religious quality or be compared to a religious figure or anything like that. I mean, we're people, and we have to either learn to be positive with each other or perpetuate the negativity. And I don't think that perpetuating the negativity is any less in religion. I think that I've seen more people who are religious be quite angry at one another and start fights and be completely, I mean, even in the church that me and my mom used to go to, the people there have been some of the darkest people I've ever met in my life. And some of the apparent darker people have been some of the lightest people I've ever met in my life. So I don't really think that if religion was gone tomorrow morning, it would make a difference to me. But I think it would make a difference to a lot of people, and that's why I was bringing up the point of religion has saved a lot of people from their darkest hour. It doesn't mean that there's going to be no more darkest hours. It just means it's something that they've adapted into and have used, just kind of like I'll say again, like NAAA, that becomes a religion to some people.
Yeah.
And, you know, if that support system was taken away, because so many people focus on their religions and don't focus on them inside and who they really are, they just put it all into a faith or a book or their teachings or whatever, I think that they'd be pretty lost. And I think that they could, even with losing that foundation, be quite,
quite screwed.
But that's why I said, who would you be?
Exactly.
And this is why, you know, Deepak Chopra, I've said this before, he talks about authentic power. He wrote about it.
Mm-hmm.
And authentic power has nothing to do with anything external. Our authentic power lies within ourselves. It's not about our jobs. It's not about our religion. It's not about our sexual orientation. It's not about our income. It's not about our, you know, whether we're male or female. Authentic power is within us. And this is what I'm asking our listeners. I'm going, and, you know, I ask this of myself too, is who would you be if your whole, what you believe to be true in your world tomorrow was completely changed?
Mm-hmm.
Because the authentic power means for each of us to have it. And each of us can have it. And many of us have it and are exercising it. Some of us have forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to think that everybody would wake up and they would have a sense of themselves, not only their own divinity, but their own power and their own ability to make choices. And this is why, you know, a lot of religions act as our guide,
mm-hmm.
as to appropriate behavior,
mm-hmm.
right? This is what you do and this is what you don't do. And this is how you earn your way into that place called heaven after you die. The one thing Ash and I were talking about earlier that really makes us upset about many religions is most of them will tell you that you're a sinner. You're born a sinner.
Yeah.
And I think that that's one of the greatest lies.
Oh, I think that sets you up for an entire... Like, see, even like you're talking about, I know the friend you're talking about, and even him saying that you're born sinners is, you know, you're basically accepting that with gratitude, that you're born a sinner, so you can constantly prove yourself to God.
Worthy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that if it was, you know, I believe obviously in a creator, I believe in all of that kind of thing. And if I was born to become a sinner, how could a creator want that for something that he or she creates?
But you're not even born to become a sinner, Ash. You are born a sinner.
No, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Like if you're born to be and you are a sinner.
Right
like,
away.
Why would anything, like that's like creating like, a mixtape and being like this mixtape, I'm making it and I'm having a great time making it, but it sucks. So why even make it then?
Exactly. And so how, you know, who amongst us could even look at a baby and, you know, look at a baby
and be like,
and
sinner.
Go, you're a sinner.
Oh, I mean, cute little sinner.
How ridiculous. I mean, I just think, I think that's what I'm trying to get at here. And what we're trying to get at is it's important for each of us to recognize the importance of each of us.
Well, a lot of the parameters around what you were saying about the being born a sinner,
mm-hmm.
that's the worst part of it.
So describe what you mean.
Well, what you just said, like, I mean, it's to actually like be born into something that just completely hurts. It really like, I mean, I've seen people going to Christian school since I was in kindergarten to grade 12, I've seen people that have so much shame in themselves
mm-hmm.
because they watched a porno or because they, which I don't really agree with anyway, but, or because they, you know, smoked a cigarette or they
smoked a joint.
Exactly. Or they, you know, kissed somebody or they had sex before marriage
mm-hmm.
and they're so shameful because now they're like, well, I was born a sinner, so I have to repent now. And if I don't repent, I'm going to hell. I actually counseled kids in school, and this was some of their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they thought they were going to hell because of this or that.
And that's where the where religion does not serve humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it is one of the darkest forces on the planet. We look at religion like it's supposed to be a light source, but in fact, there's a lot of darkness in religion. And this is what we have to start really looking at and being accountable for mm-hmm. it. And taking responsibility for what we are perpetuating, not only within ourselves and our community, but also with our children, and be responsible. And I had this argument, well, I'll call it a discussion. I've had this in the past, too, where I've said, it's all about our intention. There's a lot of people who are very immersed in religions that are pure-hearted and have intentions. They just want to serve God and serve humanity and society. But I still think it doesn't serve them because it doesn't serve any of us to feel like we're pieces of crap while we're here. It doesn't serve any of us to be controlled by anything that is telling us to be ashamed of being human and having human nature and, you know, fighting ourselves. We are dark and we are light. It's not about saying you have to be pure light to be okay. Mm-hmm. It's about saying we have both. We are duality in life's expression. And what we choose is what we become. So I'm dark and I'm light. And I know that. I know my darkness. I know my light. I personally choose light because I like the way it feels. This is where we're talking about personal responsibility. Mm-hmm. Why do I don't need a religion to tell me what's right or wrong. Religion, in my own case, caused me a lot of harm because it messed me up. And it made me far too self-critical. It made me, like you were saying, Ash, it made me question a lot of myself and who I was. And I felt, instead of celebrating who I was, I felt shameful. I felt guilty more than I felt freedom. And how does that serve any of us?
Well, I think that exactly. Like, I mean, I think the world, to have the darkness completely dissipate and to have religion completely dissipate, I think is a far cry, but I think that it helps if we all start to realize that instead of denying our darkness, understand that it's there, but not indulge it.
So I feel that in order for us to expand as a consciousness in this world, I think it's absolutely crucial that we say that religions are not the way, the truth, and the life anymore, because mm-hmm. they're not. Mm-hmm. And it's not to say that we don't, you know, have our faith or our belief system. Because
faith is great.
Of course. And even if you want to take the Bible, for example, and say, hey, this is a neat book. It's got some really great stories in it. And there's some parables
lessons,
in there that, you know, that make me understand myself or human nature or love a bit more, then that's great. But when we start using these books against other religions,
against each other,
and to fight each other and say, my book's right, your book's not, that's when it's...
That sucks.
I mean, it's common sense to me. It's common sense. It's illogical for us to think mm-hmm. that there are... If we are monotheistic, most of us, I mean, polytheism is also some people's belief systems, but if most religions are monotheistic, then why would you... That means there's only one, period. Logic.
Exactly. So
why do you think that you have the only one?
Yeah.
And just let it go. I mean, just let it go and just be love, be together, hang out, say, hey, love your philosophy. It's really cool. It's got a lot of tradition. It's thousands of years old. I respect that. But at the same time, isn't it about change? Isn't it time we started really changing the way we see the world?
Exactly, and when we do start to change, we're going to realize that change is okay, and even if our mindsets are, you know, there should be no religion, and there should be no, no basically set up kind of theories, I think that we're going to start to realize that that's okay as that changes too, as we adapt and we come into our own and not make it a religion, but just make it a faith, that we can carry and show other people that that's what we have, and it's not going to be as damaging. And first, I want to actually give the call-in numbers, and then we have a comment,
a tweet
from one of our fellow Hologram Radio listeners. And the call-in numbers, please call in because we're just chit-chatting, and we love it when
we have 15 minutes left of the show, so you've got time to call in if you'd like.
888-627-6008. That is 888-627-6008, and sometimes it feels like we could go on for hours. I mean, what importance our words do have is, you know, we love that, but at the same time, we love when we have some feedback from you, because it's important.
I just want to also, this is the tweet that we got 5 minutes ago. Thank you, Woody's alter ego. Religion equals hypocrisy. This is his comment. We were actually seeded by the Greys as a science project, smiley face. Now, it's really tough for us to comment on that without you actually on the line, because this is something we'd love to have a dialogue about, because this is something that probably Ash's Aunt Bonnie would love to talk about too, Yeah, she's our great. She's our alien UFO expert, but she's not here with us. But thank you for your comment. Religion equals hypocrisy, and I agree. There's a lot of hypocrisy. This is why I believe that Jesus himself would be quite upset at Christianity, because who would want to be the person who's the ultimate scapegoat, where you can just basically be the most evil person on the planet? You can rape, you can pillage, you can abuse, you can steal, you can covet. And then on your deathbed, you can say, Jesus, forgive my sins, and be going to heaven. Come on.
Well, it's like the whole dark and light thing. It's like, let's blame, you know, the devil for everything that we've done wrong. And then let's, you know, say, hey, God, save us from everything that we've done wrong. And we know that we're sinners, so of course we went over to the dark side. So now save us from
we're already doomed, man.
Self-responsibility, people. Okay.
That's right.
And one, two, three. Ash's mom.
It's Janice on line one.
Hi, yeah. Janice.
I like that one. That's a good song.
Isn't that a nice one?
Yes, it's wonderful. I love it. We'll put it on your next album.
Did you like my story about Columbia House Records and your taking me to see Marilyn Manson after taking his record away from me?
Yeah, but that was 10 years after.
Well, you know what, though?
What?
I think I heard something. You said she was right? Did I hear that?
Hey, I told you that before. You were right.
Yeah, but not on the air. Not to lots of people.
When I was older,
I've heard you whisper it.
when I was older, I understood why. And then I could enjoy it more when I was older because I understood it.
That's right. See?
Yep.
There you go.
It was awesome. My mom's come back. For all you viewers out there, my mom's come to see Cradle of Filth with me, Marilyn Manson,
yep.
The 69 Eyes, lots of stuff.
Yep.
My mom's very, very
yep.
cool. Rancid.
Yeah.
Everyone.
Yep.
And
Rancid are friends of yours.
Yeah.
Yep. And
they love your CD.
That's because she's an amazing singer and songwriter.
Thank you, friends.
Yeah, she
so
is.
And
she's an amazing daughter.
Thank you.
What I was going to say about religion is if you look at the Christian faith and what it was when it was Christ, right? Like when it was
not
in
Christ.
The beginning, when
yeah.
it was him and
that's
his apostles
okay.
and everybody went, you know, their way to preach the gospel. And then, so after all them passed, it became Catholic and it became Orthodox. And then after that, it again divided into Lutheran, and it divided into like all these different faiths. And so what happens is everybody, they'll see something in true Christianity that they want to add to, or that they don't believe, or that they don't want to believe, so they change the faith. And that's what's happened, and that's how something really good and beautiful and honest and loving turned into something just, you know, whatever it turned into. It just divided, a faith divided. And the same thing with the Muslim faith and this faith and that faith. So people are turning it into what they want it to be. In the beginning, every faith is created with a pure heart. And it's people like that want it to be what they want it to be, and they change it. Know what I mean?
But that's why, is the Bible even accurate then?
No. Well, I hate to say that because, I mean, who am I to say if it is or isn't? But what I believe is people have, they've added their stories to it. They've added their swing on it. Just like with the Christianity, there's a Holy Bible and there's the Old Testament and the New Testament. Well, the New Testament, if you look at the beginning of the New Testament and what it stood for and the love and, you know, what Jesus preached. I mean, he preached love, acceptance, helping, you know, your fellow man, not judging anybody.
Basically everything that Christianity isn't.
Well, exactly. But why? Because people change it. When people get a hold of it, that's what I'm saying. This is the point I made with Cheryl the other day. When people get a hold of something, when people get a hold of something, they change it to where they want to be because they don't want to be judged. Because they've done things that they're not so proud of, so now they have to change it so that they can be accepted into the faith. Like,
that's
look at King
says.
Henry. King
yeah.
Henry.
Yeah.
I mean, he created the Church of England because he was an adulterer, so he changed it to where it was okay to behead his wives and it was okay to do this. He changed it to what he wanted it to be. And so now it's the Church of England, and it still stands today. And then every faith, like the jihad, the holy war. I mean, if there's so many different, like if you see, even I watched the show on TV, and there was a bunch of just different faiths, Muslim and Judaism and all these faiths that sat around. And I saw two Muslim people sitting there, and they each read the Quran differently. It meant something different to them. And so goes the Bible, and so goes every holy book, because people change it to where they want to be accepted, and they want the stuff that they've done wrong or the people that they've hurt, that it's okay. Oh, yeah, now you're forgiven, and everything is fine. And, oh, yeah, now you can commit adultery because this, this, and this. You know what I mean? Like, people... They change it. So, they're the ones that put the bad seeds in it.
A really good example is that picture that I showed Cheryl on Facebook, and it's of it's of these people. It's a series of six different pictures, and one is the number of people protesting the use of wool, because in 1 Corinthians something it says that you shall not wear wool or cotton or something. Another one is that you're going to go to hell, or you're going against God if you eat pork or something else. And there was zero people protesting all of those things that could get you stoned and condemned. And then the number of people protesting gay marriage, 15 million something, because it says you can't be gay in the Bible. People pick and choose, and
That's what I'm saying.
Christians are going to keep eating pork, and they don't care, but God forbid.
It's Judaic law. It's the Old Testament. They don't eat pork. Seventh-day Adventists, which are Christians, don't eat pork because they believe in the Judaic law. This is the whole point, is that there's so many different religions, and you're right. King Henry VIII wanted to have another wife. He didn't want to be, the Catholics say you're married, and you're married for life. He didn't want to be.
Yeah.
And so he created the Church of England. And yes, the Council of Nicaea is a whole other thing too, back in Constantine's time, where they actually decided what was going to be in the original Bible, and they've omitted things, and they've since found the Gospels of Mary Magdalene. They found other Gospels that were never included in this work that should have been, if it were considered a historical document. These are all around the same times. There's Josephus too, who was a historian of the time. There's all sorts of things. So it's picking and choosing, and a lot of it is committees. You had committees doing this. These are committees of men. Mm-hmm. They were never women. Committees of men deciding what should and shouldn't be in this book. And it was about control and power, because they still wanted to have control and power over the people. Because if you rule people, you want your people to be in fear of you. Because who's going to obey a ruler that they don't fear? I mean, they can also love you, but they ultimately have to fear you as having more power than them. So it serves them in that belief system that you are more powerful, and therefore you have the ability to rule and to lead and to tell them how they should behave, what they should be doing, what they shouldn't. And this is the thing, this is what I was talking to you about the other day too, Janice. My idea is that, yes, there's always going to be someone who wants to create havoc and wants to bring darkness into these things. But it doesn't mean that it's always going to work. Because if we only focus on ourselves and we focus on our changing our belief systems, our starting to question the things that we've always accepted as being true, why are they true? Let's start asking ourselves, what makes this true?
Mm-hmm.
And once everybody starts taking personal responsibility for themselves, not blaming a devil or demons for making them do dark things, they do dark things because they're indulging their own darkness that is theirs. It belongs to them. It's not an influence of a dark being. It's them. And this is what I believe has to happen, is we have to see our own darkness, and instead of fighting it and calling it wrong, just say, yeah, I've got it. It's there. But it's not going to...
And you know what, though?
What?
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, I just said, but it's not going to overtake me.
Yeah. Well, you know what it is? It's fear.
Exactly.
It's the fear that religion has created into the mind of people, that they can't think that way, that they can't this, they can't have an opinion, they can't, you know, they can't disagree, they can't agree. You know, it's all about fear.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And it's about power and control. It's ultimately follow the money. Power.
Well, look at Jonestown.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that was followers. That was, like they call them sheeple. Like, you know, people that follow, like sheep. Like, there's so many different, you know, where they thought, oh my God, this guy is so righteous. This is what, you know, this is the way. This is the way to believe.
Yeah, because
and there's so many cults
because, but people
out there.
In that regard, and this is where I think a lot of churches are mistaken too, is they believe that man spoke the word of God. And even if their own hearts were saying, this doesn't seem right, they usurped their own selves and believed in a man who was telling them lies. This is what I'm getting at, is that we have to stop doing that. We have to start believing in our gut instinct, believing in our intuition, believing in ourselves more, and there won't be havoc. It won't mean that this world goes down the tube. In fact, I think that's what the only thing that will save this world, if we start to really get in touch with ourselves and our own divine connections. And that's why I think it's important that it's not about obliterating religion, where it does serve. It's about obliterating it where it doesn't. And it's about allowing ourselves to say yes to personal responsibility and to trusting ourselves, and not having to trust religions or a book to tell us how to behave, that we can, you know, take it and say, hey, does this fit for me? And then allow ourselves to have the right answer come to us and not have someone fight us and tell us we're wrong. And that's what religion does.
I know.
And yeah, so thank you for bringing up Jonestown.
Right.
That was a big deal, man. I remember that. I remember when that happened, and I remember how hard it hit me. And I was a kid, I think. And I just remember how tragic that, I just energetically, that felt so horrible, horrible.
And those are people in need. Those are people in crisis. Those are people that have to believe in something. They have to have somebody that they think is really strong and to think for them, because they can't think for themselves, because they have too many things that are controlling them, you know? Addiction.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Well, thank you for calling in. We have to cut you off because we have to be off the air in 1 minute. But thank you.
Okay.
We love you.
Thank you as always, Janice.
Love you too.
That was amazing.
Talk to you soon.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
So in closing, I want to read something. When I was researching this, there's something called Luciferianism. Do you know about this?
Yeah.
It's one of the new religions, because I was looking at, hey, what are the new religions? And Lucifer, as you know, has been blamed for becoming actually Satan and the devil. He was the most beautiful angel, and he was the angel of light. And the Luciferians actually are a new religion that are saying Lucifer is the angel of light. He's not the devil. He's not Satan. He's not all these things that people made him out to be. And this I wanted to end, because their religion, I found this on Wikipedia. I love what they say, because this would be a really great non-religion thing. I want to read this in closing.
For Luciferians, enlightenment is the ultimate goal. They prize the wonders of nature and seek to connect with the natural world and the universe that humans inhabit. In order to move humankind forward through both physical and social evolution, Luciferian principles highlight truth and freedom of will, worshiping the inner self and one's ultimate potential as opposed to bowing to the rules of a supernatural entity. Traditional dogma is shunned as a basis for morality on the grounds that humans should not need deities or fear of eternal punishment to distinguish right from wrong and to do good. Instead, they believe that humans should accept who and what they are, the good and the flaws alike, and should seek first and foremost to better themselves and to expand knowledge and understanding both on a personal level and on a worldwide scale. Hmm. All ideas should be tested before being accepted. And even then, one should remain skeptical because knowledge and understanding are fluid. The ongoing search for truth is paramount in whatever incarnation Lucifer is viewed, whether theistic or atheistic, whether thought of as a Prometheus defying the gods to bring fire to mankind or Satan giving Eve the apple, allowing humans to think for themselves and to move beyond their childlike beginnings. He is a representation of ultimate knowledge and exploration, humanity's savior, and a champion for continuing personal growth. And in that, I'll keep you, again, being open-minded.
Yes, thank you very much, and kiss a tree, and thanks
for
listening.
We love you. Good night.
Bye.